mansion to mansion, and all the sights I saw. For the same, I want to see Jesus, the one who died for all.
Good evening, and thank you for joining our podcast. You're listening to Fire Shut Up in My Bones. Please turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1, and we're going to be doing a lot of reading so you can get an understanding of what is going on in 1 Samuel. So let's start in verse 2 of chapter 1 of 1 Samuel. It says there, and this is talking about Elkanah. Elkanah had two wives. Okay, let's read verse 1 then. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim, Sophim, of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zup, and Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Let me make sure this is recording. In Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priest of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord has shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord has shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart only, her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine before thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. By the way, let me stop there. That's the most important thing when we're going through sorrow, is to pour our heart out before the Lord. You can see that in Psalm 142, verse 2, verse 16. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned. And it came and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, and Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and she called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, do what seemeth thee good, tarry until thou hast weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her and with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought it unto him the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as I liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we have. Bless this study. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here we have woman Hannah whose womb was shut up by the Lord. Now I don't know why that happened, but it's amazing to me. Sometimes when we want something really bad, sometimes God delays in answering that prayer to show us something. You know, as much as the same with Abraham and his wife Sarai, the Lord will put you through a test, a trial, so that he could show his glory unto you. In this case, it put Hannah in a spot to really rely and pray to the Lord. And she became closer to the Lord because of this. But what I really want to get out of this message is that she prayed unto God for a child, and God gave her a child. And I'm talking to the Christians today, is that oftentimes you hear Christians that have been going to church for a long time saying to a married couple who just had children, wow, you created that child. Or, isn't it beautiful? You and your wife made something together. And beloved, deep down, when I hear things like that, I know something within me is saying that's not right. And I actually get offended and mad when I hear that. Why is that? Because that is not true. You see, we didn't create ourselves. We didn't create the process of making the child. Nor did we make a child. It's impossible. Man does not have that capability. And if you're a Christian and you say those types of things, you are taking the glory from the Lord and putting it on yourself. I think that's a sin. And that's why we're in this portion of scripture, to show the example of a woman, a godly woman, asking for a child, getting a child from God, and giving God the credit for receiving that child. The title of this message today is, thank God for your children. Thank God for your children. That child that you're raising right now is from God. The child that you're bringing to church is from God. You don't have any control or power in creating that child. For many years, before doctors really studied conception and the process of what goes on in the womb, when the child is in the womb, man didn't know anything about those things. It's been revealed the advanced plan that God made in conception, we can tell that this is designed and produced by God. But anyway, we need to thank God for the children. I want you to notice how God closed up her womb. In verse 6, it says, in verse 5, it says, "But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb." You see, it's in God's hands. God controls who has children and who does not have children. That's why I was very tender and respectful at the fact that God gave my wife and I a child named Archibald. We have another child coming in. He's not born yet. His name is Horatio. I didn't brag about it because there's people out there that can't have children. Okay, maybe God's trying to show them something. But nevertheless, God gave his children. I didn't brag about it. I said, yeah, you know, pray. Look at this right here. We could get kids, like, we could probably defeat the Duggards and have 30 children. That wasn't our first reaction. My wife and I thank God for our child, because God controls who gets pregnant and who doesn't get pregnant. Now, look at Hannah. I want you to notice that Hannah prayed to God for his son. In verse 10, it says, "And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore." Now, listen, she's going through a hard time. She was bitter in soul. She wept sore. This is not a woman that's just crying willy-nilly. She is under great pressure and great woe. But who did she turn to? God. She prayed for a child, because she knows that only God can give her a child. Okay? She didn't go to her husband and ask, "Oh, Elkanah, let's do this thing right now. Let's have a child together." She didn't do that. Who did she pray to? God. Why is that, beloved? Because an all-powerful God is the one that gives us children. He made everything. The Bible, remember when God said in Genesis, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Hannah realized that. Now, I want you to see the promised dedication. The promised dedication. This is in verse 11. "And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." And, you know, she wants a boy. He says, "Give him unto the Lord all the days of his life." The promised dedication. You know, when I found out my wife is pregnant, I immediately prayed and said, "Lord, my son is yours. If you want to have him preach, go into full-time ministry, he's yours. I will not keep him from you. And I will dedicate him." Look, I'm in church. The boy hasn't missed church. It's important that children become accustomed to church. You know, what a shame it is that parents are not teaching their children how serious and how important church is. Going on vacation on a Sunday and not going to church. Growing up with my family, my dad never missed church. When we went on vacation, we were at an independent fundamental Baptist church and heard preaching. And now, as a young man with my family, it's very hard for us to miss church. When we take vacation, we're going to church. We never take a vacation from God. Never. Okay, so we see the promised dedication. Okay, so she said, I'm gonna give my son to the Lord so he can be raised a godly man. Beloved, do you do that with your children? Do you take it seriously? Do you send them to Sunday school? Do you sit in church with your children and tell your children how good God is? Maybe that's why so many children think that this Christianity stuff is just a fake, because the parents don't take it seriously. I know that because my parents took it seriously. It had a very, very positive effect on my life. I saw that it was serious in their life. And then in my life, I took this step. The Bible says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him." I'm telling you, in my life, my wife sees it too. We have seen the hand of God in our life. Amen. Now, I want you to see the promise made by God. Verse 19, the promise made by God. Verse 19. I think that's what I probably made a typo. Okay. And they arose up in the morning early and worshiped the Lord and returned and came. No, you know what? That's a typo. I'm sorry. I meant to say the process, not the promise. The process made by God. The process made by God. What process am I talking about? Let's read verse 19 and I'll explain. It says there, and they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Okay? So what process am I talking about? Beloved, sexual relationships is only for marriage. Okay? That's the process that God designed. If you go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Let's go there real quick. Let me show you this process I'm talking about. The process of marriage. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. It says there, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. You know, I remember when I was going to IT school, I was 19. And this idiot came up to me and said, marriage is just a piece of paper. It's so cliche. It's so fake. And things like that. You know, he was probably in his 30s. He doesn't have a wife, no kids. You know, he's out there, you know, fornicating. I'm quite sure he's living in regret. I'm happy that I'm married. Fornication is not the will of God. Okay, that's not the process that God designed. Fornication is sin. In 1 Corinthians 6:18, the Bible teaches us to flee fornication. To flee fornication. So marriage between a man and a woman is the process that God made. It says, and Elkanah knew Hannah, his what? His wife. It doesn't say Elkanah knew his girlfriend, his friend, or another woman. Elkanah knew his wife. That's very important. Now look at this. And the Lord remembered her. You see, God heard her prayer. Okay? God heard her prayer. So this is the process of intercourse. This is how children, the process of children are being made. Okay? Who designed this? The Almighty God. And I really want you to focus on, and the Lord remembered her. Why is that? Because God gives us children. Okay? So, could you imagine this? If somehow Hannah and Elkanah weren't right with God. They've been knowing each other for years and years and years. No children. And then her adversary, what's that lady's name? Peninnah. Teasing her. I can get pregnant and you can't. Ah, ha, ha. Okay? That was happening. Okay? But God heard her prayer, remembered her prayer, and now this time, when Elkanah knew his wife, God made her conceived. Only God can control this stuff. So I find it amazing. Now I'm reading this, and you know, my wife and I have a son named Archibald. God actually did this stuff, man. It's amazing to me that, you know, being a father, these verses just speak to me in a different light than I was when I was single and didn't have any children. It's amazing stuff. Okay, so it says God gave Hannah a child. Verse 20. So look at verse 20 with me. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come after Hannah had conceived. See, God did it. That she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. I think I saw in the Strong's Dictionary how Samuel means God hears. Or heard by God. That's what his name means. Already right there, she's giving God the credit by naming him Samuel. All right? So I can't emphasize it. So there's some people, they know their wife. It's been 12 years, still don't have kids. Okay? And when they finally do, because they've been praying for a child so long, God gives them a child. It's just a miraculous thing. I don't know how else to better articulate it. But my point is, when you have a child, it's because God gave you that child. Let me keep going before I sound too redundant. God gave Hannah a child, and God acknowledged that. Okay? God gave the child. God gave the child's name to God. Okay, verse 27. Okay, now that she got the child, she remembered the vow that she got, that she gave unto the Lord. And that was giving the child to God. It says in verse 27, for this child I prayed. She prayed for the child. And who did she pray to? God. Because she knew that God would give him a child, give her a child. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord, as long as he liveth. He shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. Hannah gave her son to God. Okay, because why is that? God gave her a son. Amen. You know, God gives his children, and we ought to raise our children up for the Lord. What's the application to all this? Okay, having a child is not, has nothing to do with us. Okay, remember, God made the process. Verse 19, and they arose up in the morning early and worshiped. Okay, Elkanah knew his wife. Okay, his wife. That's the process. Sexual intercourse should only be for marriage, not before marriage. Okay, if it's before marriage, that's fornication. Okay, that's the process. That's God's plan. Okay, and the Lord gave them a child. Okay, God made the process. God gives us children. Look at this verse with me. It says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. And that can be found in, let me see, in Psalm, forgot where, Psalm 127, verse 3. Okay, now when God gives his children, we have to do what Hannah did. Dedicate the child to the Lord and teach him. Look at this. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, in the house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. You got to be teaching your kids about God constantly. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And lastly, I want to emphasize how God created us. Okay? Please, get this in your head, Christian. You're married. You have a wife. You have kids. Get this nonsense out of your head that you and your wife got together and created that child. That's a sin. You're taking the credit from the Lord, okay? You have not, you can't even create yourself. You can't make yourself become unbald if you're bald. You have no control over that. You have no control over death, okay? So don't say those things, okay? I find it so offensive because God created everything, the process, the child. Now, I want you to look at this verse right here. I read it tonight, and once again, having children, it just blew my mind. I don't think this, for at least for me in my life, I don't think this verse would make such an impact if I didn't have children by now, if I didn't have a child by now. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse. Actually, before I get there, I'll hit that verse in a second, but look at Psalm 139, verse 14, before I forget, because I wrote that down in my notes. Look how David has such a strong, inspired understanding of what was going on in the womb. You say, how do they know that? Well, God showed it to them miraculously. God breathed it. God inspired them. Psalm 139, verse 14. It says, no, let me do 13. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Rest of you think that's talking about the placenta? I don't know. Okay. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Now look at this. No, that's basically talking about for my inward parts, where it says, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. Okay? That's you being formed, developed. 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. All the intricate parts of our body, our eyes, how it works, our heart, our immune system, they are fearfully and wonderfully made by the divine hands of God. It says, marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. 15. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret. Okay? You know, you know, unless you have x-ray vision, you don't really see the formation going on in the stomach of a woman 24/7. Okay? And curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members written. What is that talking about? Well, when it says being unperfect, that's talking about the body still being formed. The hands coming out, the eyes, and things like that. The child doesn't have all of his body parts just yet. But it says, in thy book, all my members were written. That means, I'm thinking that's like, you know, the program, the DNA code, where everything that your body part, your body is supposed to have, even though it's not there yet, it's being formed. God made the process. Okay? And in that book, all my members were written, the arms and all this kind of stuff, the legs, which in continuance were fashioned. That's, you know, 9 months, the baby is in the womb. It's being developed, you know, has the hair and everything that, you know, doesn't have teeth yet. Fingernails are coming out. When in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. And one particular time, when the sperm hit the embryo, that was it. And then stuff started forming, okay? That's the time when there was no body parts yet. But this verse is basically saying, at conception, you're starting to become formed. You're starting to look human. And by the way, at conception, that's life. You are human. Okay? Now, okay, when you have the time, you ought to read that. But now, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Now, like I said, this thing hit me so hard, guys. Look at this verse. It says, before I formed thee in the belly. Man, that hit me so hard. My son was in the belly, my wife's stomach, being formed by who? God Almighty. The one where it says, and God created the heaven and the earth. Where it says, by him all things consist. Guys, man, please concentrate with me. Focus with me. When you see your wife pregnant with your child that God has given you, God Almighty is forming that child in the stomach based on this verse. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. Before I form thee in the belly, I knew thee. Okay? And how sad it is. You know, America is being judged by God. And, you know, I'm not one of those guys. You know, I'm for slowing down the judgment so we can get the gospel out. But I really don't think I can sing God Bless America anymore when we're just slaughtering millions of babies in the abortion clinics year by year. Okay? That is just evil. I can't sing God Bless America when that stuff is going on. I can't. All we're asking for right now, beloved, is that God slows it down so we can get the gospel out. Because when you have freedom, the gospel gets out. When you don't have freedom, the gospel still gets out. But, you know, it's a little bit harder. Okay? Just look at Polycarp. The man got burnt up and people got saved. Okay, so before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Wow. So, beloved, watch what you say now. You know, I this is for you guys. This message, it's definitely for me because, you know, I heard someone, you know, a couple people say that to me. And it offended me. And how God communicates with us. First, the Holy Spirit says that's wrong. You start saying, oh man, that doesn't seem right at all. Something within inside of you becomes vexed. That's actually the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm not like one of these guys. Well, I heard a voice from heaven. No, that was the Holy Spirit talking to me. And then I read the Bible and all these things that God's trying to teach me through the word. So God is telling us that God is the one who made the child. It's him. Don't take it away. So that's what we could take out of here. So number one, God made the process. That's talking about getting married and having children. God is the one that causes women to have their wombs open up so that they can conceive. That's a miracle. You say, even the unsaved folks? Yes. Okay. And number three, before I formed thee in the belly, God did the formation. And lastly, when you do have children, dedicate them to the Lord. I hope this was a blessing to you. Have a good night.